This is Jay Sekulow. Maximum pressure on Iran.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Do you think that there's any connection that Iran feels less constrained now that the U.S. no longer is part of this this deal about Iran nukes?
It's ludicrous to suggest that Iran feels less constrained when during the JCPOA, they have now fired missiles into an airport where Americans travel each day in Riyadh. They've now fired missiles into Israel. To suggest that somehow the withdrawal from the JCPOA is driving the Iranian conduct that's taken place during the JCPOA in Yemen, the rise of Hezbollah, all of those things took place during the JCPOA. Indeed, I would argue that they felt they could act with impunity.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The wealth that was created in Iran as a result of the JCPOA drove Iranian malign activity. It fueled Qasem Soleimani. It fueled the IRGC. It provided resources for their work in Syria and Iraq. President Trump's withdrawal is aimed at denying them that wealth, denying them the resources to continue their bad behavior, to take the money away from them.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about Iran. Maximum pressure. The Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, laid out his plan to address the threat of Iran. This is the Trump administration's policy of maximum pressure. Three stated goals, that is, apply unprecedented financial pressure, deter Iranian aggression, and advocate tirelessly for the Iranian people. And then he laid out 12 demands for Iran for there to be an actual deal to take place. Now, this has all happened in the last about 24 to 48 hours. What's interesting here is when you talk about implying unprecedented financial pressure, that is what drove North Korea or is driving North Korea to the table. So the question you have to ask yourself, and it relates to Iran, and there, remember, they are the largest state sponsor of terror in the world. Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthi rebels. I mean, I could give you a whole list. Palestinian jihad, I mean, this is the groups they fund, sometimes Sunni, sometimes Shia, but talking about full economic pressure being put in place to drive that out. So you have to understand what's at stake here. And I think the number one issue, Jordan, that we look at in a situation like this is what is the goal of the maximum pressure?
Well, the goal is to, I think, take Iran out of the international scene. That's part one, is that Iran has become an international, at least regional player, in the time period under the nuclear deal. So you talk about their support of Hezbollah, Hamas, and Palestinian Islamic Jihad, but it's also been their involvement in Iraq, in Yemen, and in Syria, also shooting and firing missiles into Saudi Arabia and the UAE. That's all happened under the nuclear deal that President Obama and John Kerry made, the Obama administration made with Iran. It empowered Iran to get more involved regionally and pose this new danger and threat to the regions. I just went through a lot of different people under an Iranian threat who have also said straight up, if Iran got a nuclear weapon, we're getting a nuclear weapon. I mean, that's the straight language from Saudi Arabia.
Well, look, I mean, I interviewed John Bolton. It was about 5 or 6 years ago. We talked about this issue. And he said, look, if Iran gets a nuclear, exactly what you said, if Iran gets a nuclear weapon, then Saudi Arabia gets a nuclear weapon. The Jordan, everybody in the region is going to be asking for nuclear weapons. So the impact of this, the question is, when you put a policy in place like this, what is the end impact? Now, politically, then, in Washington right now, clearly what Mike Pompeo said as Secretary of State is the president had the authority to do what he's done. So it doesn't need another act of Congress.
Well, that's right. And in fact, he said that all of the sanctions are back online and will be fully implemented within the next 155 days, consistent with what they said when it rolled out. But, Jay, I would quickly say two things. First of all, this is why we advocated for Mike Pompeo. So President Trump would have someone to roll out these sort of plans. And then, too, Jay, it's another example of the Trump doctrine. The Trump doctrine has always been a genuine hand of cooperation to those who are willing and then strength to those who are not willing. Jay, this plan, it offers both of those. Now it's up to Iran to decide which course to take.
All right, we're going to take your calls. How do you feel about the president's plan? Mike Pompeo's speech, we're going to go through the 12 points with our experts. And how do you feel about getting tough with Iran? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me also mention, our book, Jerusalem, A Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital, is now available for pre-order at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. We encourage you to go there and pre-order the book. It's another way for you to get it now. Again, Barnes & Noble and Amazon. We'll be back with more, including your calls, at 1-800-684-3110.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Whether it's the blatant and stated desire of ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, or Iran to wipe Israel from the face of the earth, or the more subtle but equally insidious aim to delegitimize Israel's existence through efforts at UNESCO, the goal is the same, to get rid of Israel. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. The official release date of the book is June 12th, but don't wait. Be among the first to be informed. You can pre-order your copy of Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Order now online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. So here's what Mike Pompeo's laid out. We call this the Trump doctrine, and that is maximum pressure being put on Iran. It's going to have an impact on the Iranian people, not because you want to harm the Iranian people, but because when you put economic sanctions in place, but that's how change happens in these countries. And we've seen that time and time again. That's why the North Koreans are at the table. So we're taking your call on all of this at 1-800-684-3110. But let me tell you what the three goals are this. Apply unprecedented financial pressure, deter Iranian aggression, advocate tirelessly for the Iranian people. And then he laid out 12 demands for Iran. But let's break down these three points at the top here. I think it's important. Applying unprecedented financial pressure. Jordan, during the break, we talked about some of the numbers. I mean, Europe, because this is the question. The Europeans are saying they want to stay in the deal. The question is, can Europe save the deal?
No, because Europe can stay in the deal, but their businesses don't necessarily have to or can't, because if you can't do business with Iran anymore and also do business with the United States. So if your money's going through U.S. financial institutions, even if you're not doing business deals in the U.S., but your money is going through a U.S. bank, it's touching the New York Stock Exchange, touching a U.S. financial institution, you can't do business deals with Iran, and it's not a good business decision. Check this out. I mean, just listen. In the EU countries, so this is talking about those countries that they say can save the deal. They bought and sold during 2017 when they had this opening with Iran about $25 billion in goods with Iran. They bought and sold $720 billion goods with the United States. So with the United States pulling out, Europe cannot save the deal. It shows the weakness of the EU and the weakness of their financial markets and the world's reliance on our financial markets. So if we can take the lead.
Yeah.
And by doing so, we are crippling the economy. And Mike Pompeo said it's going to be the strongest sanctions in history when they are complete with them.
So you already know that there was a $2 billion gas project. Will Haynes pointed this out at the beginning of the broadcast, our producer. $200 billion gas project with a company called Total.
Yeah.
And this is a French company. They've stopped it. That deal's not going to happen.
So that was going to be $2 billion to that, you know,
so
invest
that's
into the Iranian economy.
10% of it right there.
Yeah.
10% of their economy already affected. Now, Siemens, big German company, same thing. They said, nope, we're not going to do it. So these governments can start saying these things, Stan, and I know there's some within the American political base that are saying, well, can't we work this out? We're going to get into that in a moment. The president lays out what that would look like, but there is no question that we are applying the toughest. These are crippling sanctions being put on the Iranian regime.
They really are. And first of all, I mean, Jordan is correct. If the businesses of the world look at this and they have a choice between the United States and Iran, it's not a close call. I mean, they are going to choose the United States eventually. Now, you know, specifically and tactically, how does that work? The vast majority of the sanction authority, and we've walked through this on previous broadcasts, Jay, but the president already has it under pre-existing sanctions. And Mike Pompeo clearly said those sanctions are already back online. They will take, in some cases, up to 180 days to get fully implemented. We have about 155 days left in that process. But Jay, he also said, if we need additional secondary sanctions, and that means if we need to put sanctions on other countries who don't follow our lead, then we will go back to Congress and ask for that. Jay, I suspect if they have to go back to Congress and ask for those, I think they're going to get bipartisan support.
That's good, because there's the political question here of whether it's going to take additional. Let's first play. Here's what Mike Pompeo said. Take a listen.
The sting of sanctions will be painful if the regime does not change its course from the unacceptable and unproductive path it has chosen to one that rejoins the League of Nations. These will indeed end up being the strongest sanctions in history when we are complete. The regime has been fighting all over the Middle East for years. After our sanctions come in force, it will be battling to keep its economy alive.
So here's what you have. I think this is important to understand. So by putting these sanctions in place, you're going to have both an economic impact, but it's also going to impact their ability to fund terrorism, because they are the largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world. They do that because they've had a free fall for the last several years because of the sanctions being removed. We haven't even gotten into the inspections, what the deal will look like. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But the fact is that their economic engine being hit will impact the battle on terrorism.
Yeah, I mean, they've had pallets of cash delivered by the United States government even, so that they've been able to operate, as we talked about, not just inside their own country as human rights violators, but of course, Iraq, you've got them involved in the Palestinian territories, supporting both Hamas. You've got, of course, they're the lead sponsor for Hezbollah. Basically, Hezbollah is a proxy. They are heavily involved in Syria. They are heavily involved in Yemen. They are launching rockets into Saudi Arabia. They are launching missiles into the UAE. This was not what Iran could get away with. They didn't even have the capabilities to do. They had a lot of tough rhetoric. But you go back 15 years ago, and Iran was not launching rockets into Saudi Arabia. They were not overthrowing Yemeni government. They weren't overthrowing. They weren't in direct conflict in Syria, in working with the Russians. So what you've seen now is Iran expand past just sponsoring their proxy to fight Israel. They've always kind of done that. They've been willing to put that ahead of feeding their own people, support for Hezbollah. But now they want to be this. This has emboldened them to be a regional, if not world player, and I think we can quickly, by implementing these sanctions, take that power away from Iran. So isolate Iran from the regional community, where they are no longer a threat and no longer a player in Syria, in Yemen, in the UAE, in the Gulf states. And I think that the last part is Hezbollah. Hezbollah, I think they'd rather fund Hezbollah than feed their own people.
And that's a big statement.
Because that's
fund
their
the
proxy to fight Israel.
Yeah.
That's what keeps them kind of, the death to Israel for real. It makes it real because it keeps it on the border.
So they'd rather fund Hezbollah. And remember those protests on the street? Do we have that sound? We'll see if we can get it. They were protesting on the street, stop funding Hezbollah, stop funding Hamas, feed the people. That's what happens when you put crippling sanctions in place. Let's go ahead and take calls. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to the first caller there.
Yeah, let's go to Donna in San Diego, California, on line 3. Donna, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Donna.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We have a parallel, I think, between the Reagan peace through strength doctrine and the Trump doctrine of fighting terrorism instead of bringing down the Iron Curtain. We want to bring down the terrorist curtain. The terrorists need weakening, for sure. Do you see this sanction policy helping to bring down the terrorists?
So, I mean, that's a good question. And I think what Jordan just said is you have to understand something about this regime. They believe that they are a caliphate. They believe that they are establishing, we did a movie called The Export that dealt with this issue. They want to export the Iranian Revolution. Remember, the Ayatollahs got into power in 1979 because they exported and then were able to import their revolution, which created, it was a pretty pro-Western, it was very pro-Western, and all of a sudden becomes this Islamic state. Now, the people do not want this. That's very clear when you see them in the streets. But the issue is going to be,
as these crippling economic sanctions are put in place, what Jordan said is important, and that is, will they rather fund Hezbollah than feed their own people?
That's the last. I mean, I think that you would see them pull out of supporting, you know, Houthi rebels in Yemen first, than you would ever see them stop funding Hezbollah, or they'd stop funding Hamas, but not Hezbollah. They would stop maybe even back getting involved so much with the Assad regime, though it's important to them, than funding Hezbollah. And Hezbollah could still, by funding them, play a role in Syria, but maybe not the same as the Iranian Revolutionary Guard does directly. So there's a lot of things that would have to fall first in their
yep.
But those are all items, let me just reiterate, other than Hezbollah, that have happened because of the Iranian nuclear deal. We're only talking about an Iran engaged in Yemen and Iraq and Syria, and really outside of just Iran and then the Israeli Lebanese border with Hezbollah being there. That only happened under the Iranian nuclear deal. They were not, they did not have the ability to fund the Houthi rebels and to get involved in a conflict in Yemen. They did not have the ability to really run a war with the Russians in Syria against a group like ISIS. They did not have the ability to, it would have been so dangerous for them to launch a missile at Saudi Arabia.
Yep.
Now they have taken those provocative steps and they're now going to face the consequences from the Trump administration, and by the way, being backed by the Gulf states, they backed this move.
Right. No question.
So regionally, we have a lot of support here.
Yeah. So listen, these are the protests. They're in Farsi. This was in the city of Qom, which is kind of that's their spiritual base for the Iranian revolution. This was back in December 29th of last year. Take a listen. So you had tens of thousands of people in the street chanting death to Hezbollah. So this is, and that's a real protest movement. Now, fan quickly here, the existing sanctions that are being implemented, it's important to reiterate this, the president has the authority to do this.
He has the authority to do it, and he has already done it. Yes, there's a turn-on time. It takes a while to fully implement them. But, Jay, it ties directly into this conversation you were having with Jordan because the Iranian people understand this. They know that the United States sent a plane full of cash. Who did that go to? Did that benefit the people? No, they're still suffering. And, Jay, I'll tell you, the other thing I loved about this speech, how many times did Mike Pompeo return to that point that the United States is for the Iranian people?
So here's what you've got. I think this is the important part here. This is the beginning of a real crippling sanctions move by the administration. Maximum pressure should get maximum results. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-4110. So let me tell you this. Our book, Jerusalem, is now available for pre-order on Barnes & Noble and Amazon. We encourage you to pre-order. That's going to be coming out June 12th. So they'll get it to you. They usually get it to you the next day or the day after. But we encourage you to go to Amazon and Barnes & Noble, pre-order our book, Jerusalem Now, the most comprehensive defense of the state of Israel and Jerusalem. All right, back with your calls at 800-684-3110 in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Whether it's the blatant and stated desire of ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, or Iran to wipe Israel from the face of the earth, or the more subtle but equally insidious aim to delegitimize Israel's existence through efforts at UNESCO, the goal is the same, to get rid of Israel. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. The official release date of the book is June 12th, but don't wait. Be among the first to be informed. You can pre-order your copy of Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Order now online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
Yes, everyone, taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. So there's three points to this maximum pressure with Iran, and this is crippling economic sanctions. They're being rolled in right now. Apply unprecedented financial pressure, deter Iranian aggression, and advocate tirelessly for the Iranian people. Having said that, they're a $2 billion deal for the company, the French company Total, has already been put on hold. Simmons pulling out of Iran. We've already talked about the fact that $700 billion of trade for these corporations with the United States versus $20 billion with the Europeans trading with Iran. The fact is, economically, and this is the question you have to ask, can the Europeans try to save this joint comprehensive plan of action? Jordan, you said the answer is no.
Absolutely not. That's what the Iranians wish, but I think that they just don't understand what our sanctions mean. So you have their foreign minister saying that that Iran is working with partners for a post-U.S. Joint cooperation plan of action solutions. They can work all they want and they can have whatever deal they like, but it's not going to bring an influx of cash from Europe and even Russian. By the way, we focus a lot on Europe. The Russians and Chinese who are involved in this, they are not going to risk not being able to do business in the United States. And that is what these sanctions mean for these companies out that are part, that were part of this deal, is that you could do business on a limited way, by the way, under the deal. Now you cannot. And you have to make those choices. And those aren't really governments. It's maybe China, that's a government choice because it's China runs their businesses, the same for Russia. But out into Europe, these are businesses that get to make those decisions. So, they're not going to decide ever to go with Iran on this.
Yeah, so Harry, your view of, what is this? Where does this get us, in your view? You got these economic sanctions that are going to be crippling. The Obama administration tried them previously. They were never crippling. Then they get this Iran deal, which freed up all this cash so that they can engage in the region. They started to fill a vacuum. You had this very clear, unholy alliance between Russia, Syria, and Iran. What is your sense of where this – I haven't even gotten to the 12 points yet. Where does this get us?
Well, first, I think that Europeans will cave. They will cave because they have to answer two essential questions. Would they rather help the Iranians fund Hezbollah, Hamas, and terrorist groups, or would the Europeans prefer to maintain good economic relations with the United States? The second question is, would the Europeans rather continue to engage in over $700 billion in trade with the United States or $20 billion in trade with the Iranians? So at this moment in time, what the Europeans are doing, in my opinion, is that they are engaged in empty saber rattling with respect to trying to sustain this bad deal.
So we've talked about the economic impact of this, but we need to look at what militarily what Iran has been able to accomplish in this last couple of years since the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action was, 2015. So it's been almost 2.5 years until it was... What have they've really engaged in this region in ways they never have before, Wes?
Absolutely. They're flush with cash. I mean, they've been a terrorist state since 1979, but flush with cash. It was since the JCPOA was put into place that they started giving not just rockets to Hezbollah, but missiles with guidance systems. After this is when they started going with the Houthi rebels, giving them missiles to fire into Saudi Arabia. I mean, their exportation of terrorism has gone up exponentially because they have the money to do it. And this is one of the complaints of the people in Iran. And you're not hearing much about it, but there are some small demonstrations going on because they're saying that you have all this money that you got when they freed up the sanctions, and yet the people are still suffering. Unemployment's still high. Inflation is out of control.
Yeah.
They are spending the cash that basically they got from us on their military and on terrorism, not on the people. And so there is a key military component to this. It's mainly military, Jay.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead.
Ron's calling in from California, online one. Ron, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Ron.
Thank you very much. I just had a comment. That's exactly this latter point you made about the military now being emboldened because they got the cash that they needed to get the weapons they needed. And also the morale they needed for now they're being paid. They haven't been paid for so long. When is it going to get watered out to where they just start running from their own government and like throwing down their arms.
So what, saying, you're asking, the question you're asking is when do we see the protests on the streets again? So let me go to Than on this, because this is a phased in sanction plan. I mean, there's time to turn it on and turn it off. You can't do it in a day.
Yeah, I think it might actually happen quicker in this case than it has previously. It's still going to take some time, Jay, but the reason I think it might be a little bit faster this time around is because the Iranian people have wisened up. I mean, we talked about the influx of cash that the government received, that the regime received. Let's call them a regime. The people never saw that. They went to the streets to protest. So this time around, as the sanctions reapply and as the regime loses more dollars and the people are squeezed even further, Jay, I think they will move to the streets even quicker because of that. And you know, honestly, what Secretary Pompeo said about being for them, I also think that will encourage it, because it will embolden them. It will make them realize that the United States government does distinguish between the regime and the people.
Yeah. So you've got to understand also when their economy is okay, what are they doing with the money? Inflation was still out of control before that we put the sanctions back in place. Unemployment was still high before we put the sanctions back in place. And then you see what they're doing with their money, including the Iranian Republican Guard, the Revolutionary Guard. So, Wes, when we talk about the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, what are we talking about?
We're talking about an elite military force that Iran uses. They were originally established. They're under the direct control of the Ayatollah. They don't answer to the civilian government. But they not only provide security for Iran, but they are the ones who deploy literally all over the world to train other governments who are terroristic governments, and to also train terroristic operatives around the world. They are their premier, they're the vehicle by which Iran exports their terrorism.
Here's what Mike Pompeo said on Fox News Sunday about the issue of the money and the terrorists.
The wealth that was created in Iran as a result of the JCPOA drove Iranian malign activity. It fueled Qasem Soleimani. It fueled the IRGC. It provided resources for their work in Syria and Iraq. President Trump's withdrawal is aimed at denying them that wealth, denying them the resources to continue their bad behavior, to take the money away from them.
So here's a quick question. I want to get everybody's opinion on this. This is coming in from Facebook. It's Laura. She writes, will this cause the Iranian regime to fall?
Could ultimately, but that's a long-term plan. I think right now, like, you have to look at North Korea. I mean, North Korea, it's also can be about bringing them to the table in a serious way,
which we'll get into.
There is a path for Iran to come to the table and rejoin the world. It's a path that their leaders are already rejecting, by the way. They've already rejected, but to an extent, they have not yet felt the economic pressures of, they're just starting to see the deals drop out of their country. I think that, you know, a few months from now, when the money starts really drying up and all these sanctions are reinforced, then you know they may have said they're not going to go to the table. Suddenly again, they're looking at feeding people in their own country and a real economic breakdown of their society.
Harry, in 30 seconds.
Jordan is absolutely correct. The Iranian regime will not collapse immediately. On the other hand, as sanctions begin to bite, this will cause internal divisions within the hierarchy of the regime. And it will produce some unrest in the streets that may ultimately lead to the collapse of the regime.
All right, we're here for another 30 minutes. If you don't get the broadcast, you can go over to Facebook, to my Facebook page. We're broadcasting it there, ACLJ.org as well. And, of course, a number of stations across the country that are carrying the broadcast. But we also have one phone line open, which is not usual, but we do have one out of our multiple pages here, our multiple phone lines, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Don't forget our book, Jerusalem, now available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Be delivered to you June 12th. We encourage you to pre-order that now at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And we've got an email going out today as well. If you're not getting those, you need to get those at ACLJ.org. Back with more in just a moment.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at ACLJ.org.
Oh, back to the broadcast, everyone. So Mike Pompeo laid out what is the Trump doctrine, maximum pressure on Iran. 3 points to it, and then there's 12 to get them back to the table. We'll get into that in a little bit. That is, one, apply unprecedented financial pressure, deter Iranian aggression, and advocate tirelessly for the Iranian people. Let's talk about the deter Iranian aggression. Wes Smith, the senior military analyst for the ACLJ. When we say deter Iranian aggression, what are we talking about? I know it's the terrorists.
Yes, it is terrorism. Their support for both military groups that are more organized and for individual terrorists and terror groups. And so cutting off their funding for this will certainly curtail that. The thing about Iran, as it relates to Europe, our European leaders, they admit that the JCPOA was flawed.
Yes.
I think the real impetus for Europe was the financial end of it.
Yeah.
But think about it, Jay. The JCPOA never stopped Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. It merely postponed it.
Yeah, so they were on a – understand this. They were on a 10-year track to get a nuclear weapon. 2.5 of those years have gone by, and there were no real inspections going on. We're going to get to those in the next two segments of the broadcast. What the president is saying will get them to the table. The president's not saying, here it is, we're cutting you off, and there'll be no negotiations. The president's saying, we're cutting you off, we're going to get you to the table. You're just not going to like the way we're getting you there.
Yeah, I mean, this was the original deal that was made was great for Iran. It was horrible for America. I mean, they loved it. That's why they fought until the last minute. That's why they're still fighting. And this idea that trying to save it, I think that they don't live in reality, and I don't think most of the Iranian regime does live in reality anyways. So they think that Europe combined can kind of save them. They don't understand the financial markets of the world, that European markets wouldn't exist without the U.S. markets. They can't function that way, and you can't sever businesses that way. So while they may be able to do some business with small companies in Europe, they are not going to be able to do business with the major players anymore. And we're already seeing them announce that publicly, the major players, because they don't want to have an issue with the U.S. Treasury Department.
Yeah, so talk about the economic impact of this, Harry.
Well, I think the economic impact, particularly over the long run, will be huge. I think the sanctions have a wind-down period of between 3 and 6 months. But they are beginning to bite already as European companies are canceling contracts and they're beginning to withdraw from Iran. This will indeed continue. And I think it's very, very important to look at the economic impact of the sanctions vis-a-vis what Foreign Minister Zarif has suggested. He suggests that the United States has engaged in a delusional campaign, that we are putting forth failed policies. He should look at what's happening in North Korea. Just ask the North Koreans whether the American approach works or not. No longer will the Trump administration allow foreign governments to push against an open door. We will no longer enter into unsigned, unverifiable agreements. And so I think we've put down a marker. And I think this is very, very important for friends and allies alike.
Yeah, let's go right to the phones. Bill in Wyoming, online too, has been holding on. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
Good day. This is my opinion, and correct me if I'm wrong, but history has already proved to me that past administration's JCPOA is a slippery slope. What was it, about 30 years ago, India decided they'd go nuclear, and what happened? Pakistan decided they'd go nuclear, too. What's going to happen with that region with Iran?
Okay, there is no way that the Israelis, the Saudi Arabians, the Gulf states, Jordan and Egypt are going to allow Iran to go nuclear. I mean, that's just fact. I mean, it's just not going to happen. They're not going to give them the cap. Unfortunately, the Obama administration gave them a clear pathway, of which, by the way, almost a third of it was gone. I mean, of the 10 years, 2.5 years of it, they had got their plan. So they have been progressing on this, and there's been no checks that they're not doing it. I mean, how do you, self-verification. So this is not, where it's different than the Reagan doctrine, this is not trust but verify. This is don't trust and verify. Don't trust them and bring them crippling economic sanctions that get them back to the table. We're going to take a look at what that looks like when we come back from the break. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We've got an email out today because we are filing two new briefs that we just filed at the International Criminal Court in The Hague for Israel. And our book, Jerusalem, is now available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. We encourage you to pick up a copy there as well. Back with more, including your calls, in just a moment.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Whether it's the blatant and stated desire of ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, or Iran to wipe Israel from the face of the earth, or the more subtle but equally insidious aim to delegitimize Israel's existence through efforts at UNESCO, the goal is the same, to get rid of Israel. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. The official release date of the book is June 12th, but don't wait. Be among the first to be informed. You can pre-order your copy of Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Order now online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're talking about Iran. We're talking about the three primary areas of pressure. We're also talking about that we have 12 U.S. demands. So let's kind of set this up. I mean, so not only are we talking about three overall topics, those topics being that we're going to end, whether it be crippling economic sanctions and what Mike Pompeo called unprecedented financial pressure, deter Iranian aggression, and advocate tirelessly for the Iranian people. To bring this regime to the table, which is going to compel them to the table, because Europe's already, businesses in Europe are already canceling. But let's talk about the 12 U.S. demands. Let's set this up first. That, in other words, Jordan, here, I think it's important for people to understand that what this is doing is saying, we're going to put this in place and we're going to drive you to the table. And when we drive you to the table, this is what we're getting.
Yeah, here's the demands. So you don't get to the table without this. And we're sanctioning you immediately, and then if you ever want to get to the back to the table, here's what you have to do. The first three you could kind of put together. They all have to do with Iran's current nuclear program. So first is letting the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, get a full account of the prior military dimensions of Iran's nuclear program, permanently and verifiably abandon that work in perpetuity forever in the future, any kind of military nuclear program. Stop enrichment completely and never pursue plutonium reprocessing, including closing a heavy water reactor. That's part two. And then part three is providing the IAEA with unqualified access to all sites throughout the entire country. So that's one, two, and three, all going together with the nuclear issue. Number four ties into that, because if you can do your nuclear work, you've got to have a nuclear a device capable of delivering the nuclear weapon. It then calls on Iran to end the proliferation, so the creation of ballistic missiles and further launching or development of nuclear-capable missile systems. So I think those one through four kind of go together through the nuclear and the delivering a nuclear device.
All right, let's take Teresa's call out of Nevada on line three. Teresa, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hello, gentlemen. I remember the Ayatollah Khomeini.
Yep.
And this regime isn't any different. They have no humanitarian efforts towards their own people, and they've shown none. And they only care about themselves, the leadership, the governmental officials.
But they're going to have a really big choice to make, Andy. They're going to have a really big choice to make, because as he said, we already got a $2 billion gas deal with the French company Total canceled.
That's right.
Simmons said they're pulling out. There's a $20 billion worth of trade that goes on between European companies and Iran. Those same companies do $700 billion with us. They are not going to take that risk. Well, so they can say the fact is, this is going to impact the people of Iran who are trying to help by doing this, by the way. You got to understand what the end goal here is. But this is, as Jordan said, you got the first fall for, which are the nuclear capabilities. No one is going to tolerate a nuclear Iran. Period.
No, and cannot. And the president is finally making that clear. This president is standing up to the Iranian regime, which I think is just, again, as I've said many times on this program during the campaign, we said we deserve a president. We now have a president and a president, and now we have a secretary of state who has the foresight to understand how do you pressure a regime. You pressure a regime like Iran through these multiple measures, economic, financial, the socio-political, attacking them with respect to their funding of Hezbollah, Hamas, and these other groups. We are taking a comprehensive, total approach toward the Iranian regime on all fronts, including and especially with respect to the economic sanctions.
All right, let's go right to the phones. Tamara in Missouri on line 5. Tamara, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, you're on the air.
Thanks. And I'm really loving this show and appreciate Jay writing the book, Jerusalem.
Thanks.
Here's my question. Do we have a way of monitoring how soon or how far they've gone in depleting the funds that we release to them? And will that have an impact on when the sanctions really take a grip?
All right, there's two aspects of that. Number one, they've spent that money. There's no question they've spent that money because they've increased their ability to engage in the region. But your question, which is a really good one, is how close are the Iranians to running out of money? We don't know that, Harry, but we know this is going to take time to filter out.
Well, it's clear that the JCPOA was front-loaded. The JCPOA represents the relentless and unfettered pursuit of an unverifiable illusion by the Obama administration and by European leaders. We gave them the money in the hope that they would stop enriching uranium and plutonium. It's doubtful that they have stopped.
Right.
We claim that the JCPOA contain invasive and stringent inspections. That was nonsense. So clearly we don't know how far the Iranians have progressed, but by withdrawing funds through sanctions now, we can stop them or begin the process of stopping the Iranian regime and bring internal pressure on the Iranian mullahs.
But then it's also important to point out that these are going into play. You said it earlier. We need to understand that this is a phased-in approach because it has to be. But there is not a need for additional congressional action at this point.
There is not at this point. The sanctions are already back online. They do take some time to take effect. But, Jay, I think it's hard to actually overstate how crippling it is when you deny anyone around the world access to the U.S. banking system. So even if they have resources, it becomes very difficult to use them if you freeze assets and if you deny their access to our system because it's so dominant around the world. Jay, it's why I kind of chuckled when the French foreign minister said that they're not going to allow the United States to be the economic policeman of the world. Well, guess what? France doesn't get a choice in that. Because we dominate the banking system, we do get to be the policeman. And when we freeze assets, when we deny access, guess what? It is very, very crippling.
And that's why the French oil company pulled out. I mean, they said, we're not going to risk this. And it doesn't matter what the French government says. These are private companies that are saying, no way, we're not going to risk.
And this was $2 billion of $20 billion, which is 10%.
And based off the announcement, the sanctions, like they said, some of these take 180 days to go into force. They could have tried to sped these deals up, try to get the money in. They didn't. They just said, nope, never mind. We're done. We're out of Iran. We're closing shop in Iran. So how, you know, people ask, how close is this regime? I think they're always teetering on the edge of economic disaster. I think they had a boost of resources for the last couple of years, but that is only a couple of years. And without a long-term boost in resources, so with all these companies pulling out immediately, suddenly they're back to disaster level of economics where they're right on the line of the people taking to the streets because bread can't be bought. And that's, I think, what the U.S. is putting in place when they talk about these kind of sanctions, is that it maybe not being able to take care of your Hezbollah forces anymore, like we've seen this rapid expansion of the last few years.
Well, here's what they say. So this is, again, what the president's laying out as the 12 requirements for a deal. Iran must release all U.S. citizens that include Robert Levinson, whose daughter was on air today. He's been held captive if he is still alive. And we don't have confirmation that he's still alive, but there are some thoughts that he might be. They certainly haven't given a report on him. But his daughter was on TV today. Listen to what she said.
Our family is very encouraged by Secretary Pompeo's speech yesterday. Secretary Pompeo has had a special interest in my father's case ever since he was a congressman from Kansas. And he, along with President Trump, we know now he's in the position of Secretary of State, and he has the power to help bring our father home. And yesterday, the United States government said that Iran must release Bob Levinson. And that demand makes us very hopeful.
It also says Iran must end support to Middle East terrorist groups, including Lebanese Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. And Wes, as a military analyst, these are groups that are basically armies of jihadists.
Yes, they are. And it takes a lot of money to fund, train, and arm these armies. And so, you know, not only are they, I think you're right, Jay, they spent the money we gave them. They were counting on continued income from trade, from oil, what have you. Their oil revenues that we're about to stop, $30 billion a month. And so, you know, the military, their military will suffer, the terror groups will suffer too, and I think that's part of the whole ploy here, what the U.S. is trying to do.
And that includes the Islamic Revolutionary, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, which is the Ayatollah's troops.
And the Taliban.
Yeah, and the Taliban. Also, Iran must respect the sovereignty of the Iraqi government, and because they've engaged there now, and Iran must also end its military support for the Houthi militia and the political settlement in Yemen. They need to get out of that. So that's where that's going. So we've gone through... 8 of the 12.
Yeah, we're going to add 9 Syria too. So get out of this international expansionism. I mean, that is what is the goal of these kind of points right here. And I think the last one that would fall is their support for Hezbollah. Again, I'd say they would rather support Hezbollah and feed the Hezbollah troops than their own people in Iran because it keeps them on the front lines. Keeps them. I guess it keeps them realistic in their sense when they shout death to Israel and death to America. That keeps them on the front lines of the battle against Israel because they are on the front lines in Lebanon on the Israeli border.
Yeah,
and for them that is the final.
But they're
going
to try to avoid
drop.
The millions in the streets. So what you got to hope happens here is that the Iranian people, as they've done in the past, will go to the streets. Let's go ahead and take a
with
call.
U.S. backing too.
Yeah, we're not going to take
that's very important. Yeah, we can take more calls. We come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You have to have a U.S. government that, if the people do go to the streets, it isn't like the Green Revolution where people were begging the Obama administration to say something and they didn't. They backed the government of Iran because they wanted this nuclear deal.
European Center for Law and Justice, that's our arm in Strasbourg's filed two briefs on behalf of the state of Israel against the issue of ICC jurisdiction based on Palestinian Authority. Just got word that she's just issued a statement. We'll have more of that when we come back from the break. It's a timely issue because we also have now released through Amazon and Barnes & Noble our book, Jerusalem. This is a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Let me encourage you to go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon now online and pre-order this coming out June 12th. Again, go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The book is Jerusalem. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Whether it's the blatant and stated desire of ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, or Iran to wipe Israel from the face of the earth, or the more subtle but equally insidious aim to delegitimize Israel's existence through efforts at UNESCO, the goal is the same, to get rid of Israel. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. The official release date of the book is June 12th, but don't wait. Be among the first to be informed. You can pre-order your copy of Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Order now online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come. come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
All right, point 12 of the U.S. demands with the Iranians says Iran must end its threatening behavior against its neighbors, many of whom are U.S. allies. This certainly includes its threat to destroy Israel and its firing of missiles into Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. It also includes threats to international shipping and destructive cyber attacks. So, Andy, we were just there in the region, and we had a chance to talk to a lot of people from all over the world. And the sense is that the most of the Arab world, I would say a super majority of the Muslim world, is, and that includes the predominantly Muslim countries, which they are, Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, the Gulf states, they want the United States to take the exact action that President Trump's doing.
That's right. They may be talking like they're sort of some solidarity among the Arab states and so forth, but the reality is, except for notable examples like Recep Tayyip Erdogan in Turkey, who is a strong man in Turkey and who is for some reason embracing the Iranian government. I don't understand why he would want to do that, since his real aim is to become the new sultan of the entire Middle East. But the unity that the Arab states have shown, generally speaking, against the Iranian regime is really remarkable.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead and take calls. 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Yeah, Ella's calling from Portland, Oregon, on line 4. Ella, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Ella, go ahead.
Thank you so much. Originally, I was confused as to how economic sanctions would affect Iran, because we'd given them billions and billions of dollars. But over the broadcast, you've sort of explained that.
Right.
So a new question comes, and what do you think is greater, the hatred for Israel or their own greed to stay in power once these economic sanctions?
Good question. Excellent question. So Jordan's already made the statement that they are more likely to feed the Hezbollah troops than they are their own people. But Ella asked a really important question. What keeps them in power at the end of the day here?
The Iranian Revolutionary Guard and Hezbollah. So if they can feed them, and there's not an actual conflict with another country going on, if they can feed those two groups, so internally the Revolutionary Guard, externally Hezbollah, they don't have to worry too much about their own people, because those groups can oppress those people for Iran, and they can continue their politics of making Israel this boogeyman, which is really, listen, it was part of their coming to power. It's not like they hid that, but ultimately it's not just death to Israel. Remember, the chant is death to Israel, death to America. Right. Israel is part of that.
Yep.
Yeah,
Wes.
9 of these 12 demands that Secretary Pompeo made, 9 of the 12 deal with the military and the exportation of terrorism. 9 out of the 12. And the reason I bring that up is that these sanctions and these new policies are designed to impact Iran's malign and violent behavior throughout the region and throughout the world, because that's really where they are a threat.
All right, back to the phones we go. Julie in California on line 1.
Hey, Julie.
Hi, it's good to speak to you all, Jay, Jordan, Logan. I think the president is a much better steward of America's money, and I think that the fact that he has so much business experience is really helping him to impose sanctions on other countries to hurt them where it really hurts.
So Julie, you raise a really fundamental question. We'll go to Harry, our law and economics expert here. So did the utilization of international norms, international law, sanctions, impact from a business perspective? I mean, the president knows how to get, I mean, he's the art of the deal guy, but there's an aspect of this. We've seen it with North Korea right now.
And we've seen it with China to some extent as well. So I think the Obama administration was focused on solidifying the Obama legacy in international affairs. His legacy in international affairs, as well as in domestic affairs, justifiably lies in tatters. There is a new president in office who believes in maximum pressure in order to force our enemies to the table. But President Trump will not be, he will not simply accept an unsigned, unverifiable deal at the end of the day.
Yes.
He will impose enforceable sanctions on Iran until they come up with a deal that is verifiable and imposes a stringent verification regime.
So this is not, Andy, trust but verify.
No, that's nonsense. Trust but verify. You can't trust the Iranians. Let's face them, no matter what you do, you cannot trust them.
The Iranian regime, right.
And I'm not talking about the Iranian people. I'm talking about the Iranian regime, the government, similar to the Turkish regime and the government. You have the idea of trust and verify doesn't work. You've got to do what the president is doing right now. Squeeze them economically. Squeeze them the way that he is doing by saying you either you want to deal with $25 billion in goods, or do you want to deal with $720 billion in trade? And that's an easy question. And I know which way they're going to ultimately fall.
So, then, what is the political fallout of any of the policies right now? Do you see any serious opposition what the president's trying to do here?
I think in word only, to be honest with you. I think you'll hear plenty on the left that oppose it because they favor the Obama legacy of the Iran deal. But, Jay, when the rubber meets the road is when the president comes back to Congress and asks for an additional layer of sanctions. And I'll make a prediction to you right now. I think more than three quarters of both chambers, both the House and the Senate, would ultimately back a proposal when the rubber hits the road.
You think that's right?
Yeah, I think that there's – remember, they didn't – most of these – a lot of the Democrats did not support this, including Chuck Schumer. Now they've come out and said, well, the way the Trump administration handled this was not the way we'd want them to, but they didn't support the deal when they took the vote on it, so they can't have it both ways. Ultimately here, this is, again, it's a major stand to the world. Just remember, we're not dealing with rational actors. This is not the Soviet Union even. Right. This is more like North Korea, with people who think they've got a supreme leader and they've got this religious ideology behind it. Back to the phones we go. We'll take another call. Lance in New Jersey on line six.
Hey, Lance, go ahead.
Hey, guys, God bless you for all you do.
Thanks.
My question is, if we cause the collapse of the Iranian regime, is there a danger of creating another Libya or Iraq, but this time with verified nuclear weapons?
Well, this is what you can't let happen. So this regime is about as bad as it can get, but does that mean there could be worse? I mean, it's conceivable. But I think the reality is, and we got to be clear on this, that the Iranian people are not going to tolerate another Ayatollah. I mean, that's clear if they can get it to the streets.
They don't have nuclear weapons yet. So it's almost like don't allow them to get to that level. So it wouldn't be a Libya with nuclear weapons or a failed state with nuclear weapons. It would be again, Iran without nuclear weapons. So let's be clear. They do not have the ability to have a nuclear weapon yet.
All right, let's go to Todd. Line two.
Hi. Thank you very much, Jerry. Sure. I know you've talked a lot about the economic aspects. Yep. One of the questions I wanted to know is, can we withhold humanitarian funds from all of the different countries that don't have the same ideals that we do with Iran?
There's issues with that are humanitarian concerns. You've got these regimes that are starving their people. North Korea, we pretty much did that. I mean, we said we're not going to get any money in there. They limited humanitarian aid. Here's what's going to happen in Iran. I mean, this is just fact. This is what's going to happen. As the economic sanctions get stiffer, as they all get into play, at the end of the day, does it impact the Iranian people? Yes, it does. This is not aimed at the Iranian people. This is aimed at their freedom. So what happens then is they take to the streets and they say, Andy, the government has to go.
We've had enough. In other words, it's always revolution comes from below, from the grassroots. And it's too bad that we're going to have to impose these restrictions, but that's the way it is.
Yeah. And the U.S. has got to be there when that move happens. We haven't been in the past in Iran. We failed miserably in 2009 with the Obama administration. We now know why. They were already working with the Ahmadinejad government on a nuclear deal. And that was not known at the time. Why the U.S. said nothing when the people took to the streets in 2009. That won't happen again under the Trump administration if these sanctions are implemented in a way that exerts that much pressure on Iran.
All right, that does it for the broadcast today. Don't forget our book, Jerusalem, now available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. We encourage you to pre-order it there and support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. Talk to you tomorrow.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.